It's a kind of magic. It's a kind of magic. A kind of magic. One dream, one soul, one prize, one goal, one golden glance of what should be. It's a kind of magic.
I'm just gonna check this is still recording. If it hasn't, then that's gonna be a bummer. All right.
It is.
Hooray.
Success. All
right. So.
So do we want to start talking about the obscurial?
Well, what?
Where do you want to go next?
Okay. Well, first things first. Ben, I know that you had several questions, and also obviously I did as well. And Sam clearly had a lot to say. Like as soon as the movie was over, and we were all kind of feel like there was a lot of tongue biting to try to
save the talk for the podcast.
Yeah. So, what was, and I've already forgotten, even though you said what your questions were, I forgot. What was your first question?
Well, it was, what is an obscurial?
Obscurious, obscurial.
Should I start there?
Yeah.
You just want to know what it is?
Yes.
Okay.
Now, and I feel like I kind of got an idea from the movie, but it did definitely feel like this was something that was, I was like, I bet there's more to this, though, that people...
Yeah, so it doesn't come right out and say that there's a connection. And in the original seven books, they never say the word obscurious or obscurial.
The Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them that they have released is a...
It's a textbook.
Yeah, it's like the book that the guy in the movie is writing.
Right. Newt writes a textbook.
But there's no like,
and Harry uses that book in his Care of Magical Creatures courses at Hogwarts.
Okay.
So we first hear the title of the book in the first Harry Potter, in like Diagon Alley or something when he's like going to buy his textbooks. Mm-hmm. We hear the name of it, and Harry buys it, and it's for Hagrid's course.
Okay, and.
Or I guess, no, Hagrid's not teaching it yet. But but yeah, Care of Magical Creatures.
Okay.
So it's, J.K. wrote it like it was the real textbook. So it's just talking about all of the different types of creatures, where you can find them, how to take care of them, what they
eat. Do you have that book?
I don't, actually.
Wow. I'm just surprised.
It's, I have it at school. It's on my shelf at school, but I don't have it here.
And have you read it, like, cover to cover?
No. Well, it's not like the original book. It's not a story.
Yeah.
So, like, I flipped through it, but I lost interest pretty quickly.
Yeah, it doesn't have to... I mean, it's like, there's lots of people who love the Lord of the Rings books, but then, like, when they start trying to get into some of those appendices that are just, like, explaining things, you're like, yeah, this is not...
I mean, once the original series was over, I was a little bit like, all right.
Or for comic fans, it's like, you might really enjoy reading Batman comics, but when DC puts out those Who's Who... which they haven't put those out since like the 80s, but when they put out those Who's Who, like basically, or like those big, like, scratch that, pretend I didn't say Who's Who, pretend instead that I used this much more timely reference, which was, you might like reading Batman comics, but then when they put out that, like, the complete Batman encyclopedia.
Yeah, very similar to that.
It's like they put one of those out and you go, oh, cool, and then you look at it for a few minutes like, okay, this is an encyclopedia.
Right.
Like, I'm not going to sit here
and read this. It's not a story.
But with the Magical Creatures book, like, did they have illustrations?
Yeah, so there were illustrations, and then probably the most interesting part of it...
I didn't realize it was quite like a text...
It's like a textbook, yeah.
Yeah, in my mind, it was more... I thought it was sort of more like a picture book.
I mean, yeah, but it's got, like, entries.
Yeah.
And then...
having seen the movie now, makes way more sense.
The most interesting part of it is that she wrote little, like, margin notes... As if
it's like a journal.
As if it was someone's textbook.
Oh, someone's so like, actual copy.
So like
of it?
Like Harry and Hermione and Ron had like written margin
notes.
Oh,
I love stuff like that.
In it. Yeah.
When people put books out and it's got like fake stuff.
Yeah, yeah. What was that came out that was like it was two books in one kind
it's,
of?
S.
Yeah.
Which
yeah.
I got that for April and she
I still need to read that.
She could not have been more excited about it for like a week. She was just like, oh, this is so cool. And she was like looking at all the things and trying to figure all this stuff out. But then it was like, it got to a point where she was like, I don't have time for this.
I can't follow.
Like, there's just too much going. There was like, that book was so dense with stuff and like all the little like things that were.
Because there were like notes.
And yeah, there was like a million things in there. And I was just like watching her go through it. I was like, this is incredible.
Yeah, Fantastic Beasts is not that. Crazy.
But also, that might be a bit too much. I bet a lot of people never finished putting all of that together.
I want to go back and read that now.
Yeah, I mean, like a fictional animal journal.
I'm interested
with illustrations. Sounds pretty awesome.
Yeah. Okay. So I think I know what
everyone's getting for Christmas this year.
Ben would really like to read it.
Yeah.
So.
It's like a fake biology book of like some.
Yeah, yeah. It's alien. Fake. And like the Newt
character.
His character came from, you know, the author of that book, and it had his name on it. Like, the cover of the book doesn't even have J.K. Rowling's name on it. Like, it says Newt Scamander, as if, like, he was the real author.
Right.
Yeah.
So, what's the connection with the Obscurious?
Okay, so an Obscurial, according to the movie that we just watched, which you know because you were there, It's when a young...
Can't argue.
A young witch or wizard, when they try to suppress their magical power. So when they try to hold in their magic and pretend...
That they're not magical.
That they are not magical, right? That they do not have these powers. What happens is that the magic sort of turns on them. In order to get out, it sort of... it turns dark. And it explodes out of them without their control. And basically what the movie leads us to believe is that there used to be a lot more of these obscuriouses in the world. Back
Obscurii.
When, yeah, there used to be a lot of these Obscurii back when witches were openly... like hunted. Like back in like the days of Salem. When people were like hunting witches... young witches and wizards were trying to hide. And as they were trying to hide, it actually turned into destruction.
I think that's something about... This has been... And I want to... It's funny. This has been a really big year for... Big month for magic in the movies. Between this and Doctor Strange. Just a real big time for magic. Also, it felt like all of the... To jump back to this other thing, and we will we'll come back to this. But the thing I was saying was like with all of the, like all the American, I'm jumping back to how it was more mundane. all the American, you know, magic people, like they were all literally they were like going around. They looked like, you know, the Untouchables.
They had to blend in with the Muggles, with the Nomadges.
Well, it's like, but the fact that
they take that very seriously, whereas the Brits are kind of like, oops, I accidentally wore my robes out. Like, people think I look weird,
yeah,
but they're not worried about it.
Well, and that's the thing is, it's like, that's what I'm talking about. It's like that they're worried so much about, like, blending in and all that. It's like the fact, one, it's like that they're just showing up and they look like, you know, the Men in Black, or they look like cops, or, you know, like the feds. Like, and they just come in, and even though she's kind of got, like, a...
Do you feel like it's commentary on like
American culture?
American,
I think more conformist.
Yeah, that Americans
I think a ton
are...
of this movie was definitely like commentary on things, but it was like a lot of it was stuff where I was going like I can feel the commentary on this, but I don't know
what it's
commentary
Americans,
for.
I think here's what it was talking about. I think that it was saying yes, Americans are more conformist, but also that they're just more repressed. Like, Americans in general...
And scared.
...are more, yes, repressed, easily scared, easily, like, excited by fear.
Abused.
Yeah, the abuse stuff, like, the religious stuff was... That was kind of hard to watch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, the Obscurial wouldn't exist without that component.
Right. It was a throwback to Salem, right? Which was uniquely American. Like, America is about witch hunts, like... In America, we decide to scapegoat something.
England did.
And we hunt it.
England did basically kick...
They burned witches in Monty Python.
Yeah. What I was going to say is, like, England did, you know, the reason, you know, the witch trials were sort of like the what's the word I'm looking for?
Continuation?
No, the they're caused by sort of like the puritanical values of people in America.
But that's what we were founded on. Like,
well, yeah, that's what I'm saying. Is like
Puritans came here, and like that's where all of our values stem from.
England kicked.
Right.
You know, England was basically like, get out of here with your
puritanical values,
which is still a way of going like, we don't like what you're doing.
Yes.
You need to go.
Right.
You know, they were like, they weren't necessarily burning Puritans at the stake, or, you know, but
same kind of idea. Yeah.
Yeah. So it is. It's like, I feel like there's a little bit of this like British better than you-ness. Going where they're
that
like
that was a little bit there. That was a little
like,
bit there.
But it's like, well, you the one that put all of us idiot, you know, all these like repressed idiots over here.
We were originally part of your Commonwealth.
Yeah, we're your bastard child.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's just that, you know, it's like that thing of like, if we had to stay around other different people, and like sort of try to be normal in society, we might not have come over here and founded like such a repressed nation.
True.
Such a repressed, violent, scared nation.
Yeah.
So
maybe it's not nice that those Brits are making fun of us.
Yeah, but it's like
JK specifically.
Yeah, specifically. Do you guys watch Doctor Who?
No, but I was thinking a lot about like how maybe if I had watched Doctor Who, I would draw parallels while watching this movie.
Yes, because I watch a lot of Doctor Who, and the whole movie I was like, oh, this guy is doing a Matt Smith impression.
Like when we were in the suitcase, I kept expecting a TARDIS to like appear.
Yeah, it's like the suitcase is very much like a TARDIS, because, oh, it's bigger on the inside. But like just the way that, and I thought Eddie Redmayne, I think the whole cast was great. And Eddie Redmayne was he played a very oddly nuanced character. It did like a good job of being,
yeah,
like, but also the whole time all I could think of was, I was like, oh, he's doing a Matt Smith impression basically.
I feel like he was like, there was a little bit of Stephen Hawking happening from his other movie.
Oh, which I haven't seen that, but like,
oh, it's really good.
He very, if you had seen, well, now the thing is, if I tried to show it to you, it would feel sort of the other way around.
Right.
But I was like, the whole time I was just like, I would like this better if it was just Matt Smith, Matt Smith is the 11th Doctor in Doctor Who.
That's how many.
Yes. There's, yeah. over when something's been around for, you know, continuously for over 50 years, they have to.
Holy cow, really?
They have to keep switching the people. It's like with James Bond.
They've made that many Doctor Who's?
Yes. It's been a TV show for over 50 years, so.
Is it like the longest running TV show?
No, because it's like, well, actually, I don't know.
Okay, well,
it's
that's on topic.
But yeah, we can talk about Doctor Who some other time.
That's a different podcast.
Yeah, that's a whole different. Tune in for my Doctor Who podcast.
Okay.
Do
we need to get back to the Obscurious?
Yeah, we will.
Okay.
But let me talk a little bit more about Doctor Who. No, but if you'd seen, I mean, like, the way he's dressed, the way he walks, the shoes he wears, the bow tie, the hair.
Yeah,
like,
he's British.
Yes, but British people don't just dress like that. Like,
yeah, totally. They do. All the British people are the same.
They all have pea coats.
James Bond.
They all have those.
Who is very British.
Yeah, he's more modern.
He does not dress.
This was the 20s.
And also lots of other, you know, none of the other doctors in Doctor Who, which, if you don't know, it's the same person, but his body changes into a different, like, that. It's the same guy. All the doctor is the same person.
Okay.
For the last 50 years.
But different actors.
But yeah, it's different actors, and like when the doctor, when he dies, he regenerates.
Okay.
And he his body just turns into a new body.
And you're supposed to believe that?
Why wouldn't you?
Like when Kenny dies all the time?
That's a completely different thing.
Okay.
But it's I like how you're like, well, anyway. well, he doesn't die all the time. He's died in
11
over,
times.
In over 50 years, he has died, yeah.
Okay.
11 times.
Or 10, I guess, because the 11th one's still
there's
alive.
There's a 12th one.
Oh, okay, so 11 times.
Yeah.
All right. So Eddie Redmayne, though, specifically seems like the 11th one.
Yeah, I mean, like, I swear, if I put on like the second episode with Matt Smith as the Doctor, you'd be like, this is the exact, I mean, like, the, even though, and that's set, like,
I'm going to for sure YouTube this.
Oh, like, yeah, by all means. just like, but it was, like, crazy. I mean, like, even, like, he's got, like, so many of those mannerisms, and, like, literally down to, like, the cut of his pants and, like, the kinds of shoes he had on. And I only bring that up because it's not just, like, a British thing, because, you know, all of the other Doctors are also...
British.
Well, I guess technically one of them is from, where is it, from like Wales or something. Not important. I mean, I guess that's kind of, I don't know. I don't know how their thing works with like, there's different places and they seem very like, hey, don't say I'm Welsh, not British. And it's like, you're on the same island, right?
It's a tiny island,
too. Yeah, you know, it's like, you guys
are very close.
Yeah, it's like, you gotta just calm down. But, you know, people also be like, if some people would say like, oh, yeah, they're from the South. He's from, like, Mississippi or whatever. You'd be like, whoa!
I am from Tennessee.
Yeah, I am from Tennessee.
Totally different.
Or like, whoa, don't say I'm from Alabama, all right? I'm from Mississippi, not Alabama. Let's, you know, or from, whoa, don't say I'm from North Dakota. Guys, do y'all want 50 like more examples?
Okay, but seriously, though, that one little tiny island that all those British people are on is, like, the size of one of our states.
Take
yeah.
that.
Yeah, it'd be like the difference between Chattanooga and, like, Knoxville.
Sick burn on England for being so small. But thanks for all the culture. But he's, yeah, with him running around the wand, the Doctor has got, like, a sonic screwdriver that's very wand-like.
What?
He's got a thing that's called
a screwdriver?
It's called a sonic. Don't
that's
look.
So absurd.
Oh my god. Did you hear the I was like, oh, he gets Abraca frozen. And you were like, do you mean blah 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 blah?
Petrificus totalis.
Oh, but that doesn't sound absurd.
It's Latin.
Because it's fake Latin.
No, it's real Latin.
Okay. Like, please do not get like up in the air about one thing sounding.
She rolled her head just now.
It's when she couldn't that. Yeah, because rolling her eyes was not enough. She had to roll her entire head. It's not actually a screwdriver. That's just, like, what it's called. It's just a nickname for a thing that does a lot of different things. Much like a wand.
Okay. All right. We're totally off topic.
Yeah. But it's fine. from a storytelling perspective, they might as well call it a wand. Because it just acts in the story to do kind of, like, what he needs it to do at certain times. Which
it's
is the
wand-like thing.
Yeah, which is the same kind of thing, you know, it makes no sense because it's just a little doodad. It would be like if Newt had his wand and pointed it at something and then like looked at it like, oh yeah, I just took a reading on that. You know, it's the same kind of thing where it's like, this does whatever we need it to do. Like a wand can go, all right, I can make it bring something over here, or I can make it pull a memory out, or I can make it make something, you know, do whatever. It's
magic.
Yeah, it's a storytelling device. I mean, in Doctor Who is, you know, a fantasy, magic, fairy tale, just with sci-fi trappings pinned on top. But seriously, the whole movie, all I was thinking, I was like, I would enjoy this even more if it was just Matt Smith, because he's just doing a Matt Smith impression.
Oh, but I like Eddie Redmayne.
Oh, I like him too. I
didn't you see Les Mis? Come on.
No.
Chris.
Why would I see that?
What? It's the best musical.
I mean, have you seen Thriller?
Okay, Obscurus. Should we go back?
No, let's talk about how insufferable let's talk about how insufferable Les Mis seems.
No! Okay, we're done. Okay. So the Obscurus is
what does
young
it have to do with Harry
witch
Potter?
Or wizard.
You got that. You
who has
that.
Suppressed their magic. Okay, so I brought my book to help explain what it has to do with Harry Potter.
She had this, like, sitting out, like, ready to go when I got here.
Yeah, the pages are marked.
Yeah.
So the seventh Harry Potter book is Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows. You've seen the movies because there are two of them for this last book. There's a whole lot in this book that did not make it into the movies. And the things that didn't make it into the movies are the things that tie it to these new movies. Which is why... having not read the books thoroughly, you're kind of like, I don't really get the connection, or like, so the main connection is...
Well, and I wasn't worried about it. That was the thing, and I think this is like a really big compliment to the movie, is that the stuff where I could tell people who know more about this are probably getting more out of it, was I saw those moments and was just like, oh, I bet that's enjoyable for the people who kind of get it. But it's like, it totally didn't, I didn't feel like I needed to know for the story to make sense.
Right.
So even if you're not into Harry Potter, I think you could totally enjoy this movie.
And... Absolutely. Yeah. I think the connections though were super interesting and subtle. So
what about the part when he was like, he opened his shirt and he had that t-shirt on that said, Harry Potter is going to be a big deal someday.
That didn't happen.
What about that part? What about that part?
What are things that you did notice? Let me ask this. What are real things that actually happened in the movie that you noticed and you were like, oh, that's a connection?
Okay. So when... man, Colin Farrell was so good in this movie. And what I meant to say was, Colin Farrell is so good in every movie. This movie really made me like... realize, I was just like, that was the other thing I kept kind of thinking about through the whole movie, was I was going, man, he's so good. He's just like, he makes some of these other people, some of these other actors really seem like they're acting. You know what I mean?
Yes. Okay. Now, what was something he did or said?
Obviously, I think you know where I'm going with this.
Okay, so talk about the necklace.
Yeah. Well, I saw that necklace and I was like, oh, he puts the necklace on the Flash.
Credence.
The Flash.
Who's also from the person being a wallflower.
The Flash. this is the only connection I have to him.
Okay, so he puts the necklace on him and you were
Deathly
like,
Hallows
necklace. I recognize that.
Yeah, I was like, oh, hey, that's that thing that I see people having tattoos of or having on their car. Having stickers on their car.
Which is crazy because it's actually...
It's a bad thing, right?
Well...
It's for
baddies. We can talk about
it's
why.
It's about power.
Yeah. I was like, oh, I see
a symbol. It's like to... Sauron.
It does look like the eye of Sauron.
It does look like an eye. So if we remember the guy.
And we all do.
Grindelwald. Do you remember him from the books?
Johnny Depp.
Yeah, Johnny Depp. I did not know was in the movie until I saw it.
I didn't. Okay, so somebody, I just accidentally saw someone say, and what this person said, like, it was one of those things where my brain accidentally went into overdrive to figure out what they were talking about. And then, like, because they just said something about Johnny Depp. And I was like, why is this person talking about Johnny Depp in a conversation? And I was like, wait, what? And then it's like my brain started trying to pull clues to go, like, I was like,
oh, Johnny Depp's in this movie.
I was like, oh, is Johnny Depp in this new Harry Potter movie?
And he is, and he plays Grindelwald.
And yeah, but the thing was, it's like then I had no idea who he was or what he did, but then it was like the entire movie. I was going, when's Johnny Depp gonna show up?
Not until the very end.
Who's Johnny Depp gonna be?
The last and 30 for some minutes reason, of the movie.
Like the way what somebody said, I was like, I really kept thinking this was what was gonna happen, how he was gonna show up. Was that he was going to be, like, younger Dumbledore.
Oh, okay. But there's a total connection between Grindelwald and Dumbledore.
Oh, okay. I have a Dumbledore question as well.
Okay. Okay, so, the things in the movie that connect to the original series are some of things that you noticed, which are the
real
dark.
Quick, let me just ask both of you guys this. When the movie started and you're seeing Grindelwald from behind, and that when there's all the headlines talking about him.
Yeah.
And you see him from behind.
Right, when all those wizards die, yeah.
Yeah, but there's just like this one shot where you see a guy from behind.
His white hair.
Yeah, and it's like, I go, so the entire movie then, though, I had no idea that was going to be Johnny Depp, but the whole time I was like, oh, that's going to be Colin Farrell or something. Because
there was going to be a connection to the...
Well, I was just because, like, they have the same haircut. I was like, there's only two people in this movie that have that haircut. It's like, we see this guy at the beginning, and then it was like almost the first time you see Colin Farrell, you see him from the back, and he's got that same haircut.
Oh, good and job I was making like, that connection. I didn't make that connection.
But that happens really early. Both of those things happened really early in the movie, so that's when my brain is like really
working to
trying to down. Yeah. And I was just like, so when at the end he was like a bad guy, I was like, well, of course he's got that's the bad guy haircut apparently.
But really, there was
did either of you guys think that?
No,
or
no, but they're both Grindelwald, really. He's clearly using like Polyjuice potion or something in order to be the
which
other guy.
Sounds way less ridiculous than Sonic Screwdriver.
Polyjuice.
Okay. Can we go back? What other things did you notice?
Well, what's the deal with that necklace?
Okay, so the necklace is the mark of the Deathly Hallows, which you know from the last movies. The Deathly Hallows are the three objects that Death gave to the brothers. So the wand, the
this is how you feel. I'm realizing this is so great because this is how you feel when I am explaining comic stuff
to and you. I have no idea what
yeah and you're okay. just like uh-huh.
okay do you remember in the movies when they did that weird
like don't you remember when Bucky bought those plums and so and you're like
uh-huh. Sure, I have no idea what that means. Throwback to our old podcast, make sure you listen to that one. Okay, so you remember in the movies when they did that weird break and it was like that kind of cartoony thing? It was the only time in the movies that they did that. It was like a cartoon version of the story. And it was very like black, inky looking. And it was the story. And
kind of vaguely.
So Luna's dad, Mr. Lovegood, who runs the crazy newspaper, he was telling the story of the Deathly Hallows.
Okay.
Hermione has it in the book that Dumbledore left her. She's read the story of the Deathly Hallows. And basically it's these three brothers who meet Death.
Are you going to put on?
Yeah, I'm going to cue it up so you can remember what it is. Okay.
What?
You guys can talk. Keep talking. Just keep talking.
Okay. So
is the sound off?
The story of the Deathly Hallows is that there were three brothers who met Death. That's what it looks like.
Okay. This looks looks really cool.
Okay, so there's Death and the three brothers are meeting Death. And so Death was very cunning, right?
Don't just read it. But you keep talking. You're
so
doing
Death,
great.
Death gives them three objects.
What for?
Gives them three prizes because they cheated him. They beat Death. And so he's giving them prizes. Except for the prizes are actually a way to trick them. So one of the things he gives them is a wand. It's supposed to be the most powerful wand.
This is
wand.
Very... This idea is also... This is like real Lord of the Ringsy.
So the yes. other... Like, right,
Sauron makes these rings.
It's a powerful
it's like,
thing.
Trick you.
The other thing he gives them is the Resurrection Stone, which is the thing that you turn it over in your hands and you can bring people back from the dead. And then the third object that he gives them is the Invisibility Cloak, which eventually is passed down to Harry. It's the Invisibility
that
Cloak
thing
that
I
Harry
remember.
Has.
Yes.
Yeah.
He gets that in the first movie.
Yes. So those three
objects...
He wears
objects, it in the library.
Like, the lore around those three objects is that if you can obtain all three... then you will be master of death. Like, if you can obtain all three objects, then you won't die. You will be more powerful than death. So there's the Elder Wand.
She's alive.
And the Elder Wand is, like, super powerful. It's like, if you have the Elder Wand, you can beat anyone in any duel. And that wand... becomes the obsession of Dark Wizards.
This is so great. Watching, like, you talking about it while I'm watching this happening.
Right, so Dark Wizards really want to get that wand.
Obviously.
And Grindelwald.
So these three things are like the Infinity Stones that Thanos wants to get together to then...
Yes, yes. That when you bring them together, they have ultimate power. So
right.
Grindelwald, who you met there at the end of this movie, he... is a dark wizard, and he's obsessed with finding these three things, with finding the wand, the stone, and the cloak. But the only one he ever finds is the wand. He becomes master of the Elder Wand.
Where does he show... Okay, go ahead. You're probably about to say that.
So he's obsessed with finding these three things, and that's why he makes the mark of the Deathly Hallows his mark. But the thing is, it doesn't mean that to everyone, because there are other people it just means the Deathly Hallows too. But to him, it's a symbol of ultimate power. If he can have all three, then he will have ultimate power over death.
Right.
And so he becomes obsessed with finding them. He does eventually gain control of the Elder Wand. And then, if you know from the seventh book, Dumbledore eventually defeats Grindelwald in a duel.
Mm-hmm. Even though he's got the wand?
Even though he has the wand, and then Dumbledore becomes master of the wand. So Dumbledore is the one who
How did he beat him if he's got it? If he's got the wand?
Because Dumbledore's so powerful.
Why is he so powerful? Much like Yoda.
Right. That's all you need to know. Dumbledore's just Yoda. So
everything is just a ripoff of everything else. It's all cyclical.
Yes. So, have you ever read... No, I'm sure you haven't. But
it's a
weird like English teacher book. It's called How to Read Literature Like a Professor.
I have not, but you have told me about it before.
He says in the book, one quote that I like to mention is that there's no such thing
as a wholly original
story. Yeah. Like every story is derivative of something else. So,
bless you.
Thank you.
That was the first sneeze on the show, I think. And the second.
All right.
Bless you
hopefully
again.
Hopefully it doesn't continue.
What's going to be great is if it continues and we have to kick you off of here, and then it's just me and Ben trying to figure this out.
Without any of my knowledge.
Yeah, with no, and you're just yelling from the other room, like, you idiot!
While sneezing in the bathroom. Yeah. I forget where.
So why does he, why is, so that guy's just, he's... Oh, that's his thing because he was Grindelwald. That's his deal.
Yeah, so Grindelwald is all about getting this ultimate power. And what he wants is he wants to rule over the Muggles.
Okay.
But he says it's for their own good.
Was Graves an actual person that then he killed and like made himself look like? Or are we supposed to think that Graves is just...
We don't know. There are many ways that he could have hid his identity. He could be Graves could be locked up somewhere and he could be taking Polyjuice Potion to look like him, mm-hmm. much like that guy did in the movie with
eyeballs.
With Moody?
No. Oh. Harry Potter.
Yeah, yeah.
So, with the 10th Doctor.
Okay.
That guy, David Tennant, plays...
All the connections.
David Tennant plays that guy, and David Tennant is the 10th Doctor.
So that could be the case, or
Newt was nothing like.
This guy, Graves, could be totally made up, and he just, like, altered his looks to look like a new guy and got himself hired.
When he...
all that. We don't really know.
When Newt asks that ugly guy, can I just say that...
What ugly guy?
That ugly little troll man. The guy with the most horrific thing I've ever seen, which is fingers that bend the wrong way.
Oh, yeah. That's the bootlegger guy.
A house elf, right?
No.
He's that was a goblin.
A goblin, yeah. So this goblin who looks like... I meant to look in the credits and I forgot. He looks like a goblin version of... what's his name?
Someone you can't think of the name of.
This drink is... I can tell it's starting to have an effect on my brain.
You'll think of it later.
I'm just going to cut out where I can't think of it, and then it'll sound like I thought of it right away. Oh my god.
He looks like a goblin version of
Willow?
Somebody. No. Well, Willow is in all the... It seems like Willow is in Warwick Davis. No, of... Who is the guy? Ron Perlman. He looked like a weird little CGI goblin version of Ron Perlman. And then when he started talking, it sounded like him. And I was like, is this Ron Perlman or did they make this guy?
Is that guy in Pacific Rim?
Yes.
It did seem like him.
Yeah.
You're totally right. I bet it is. We should look at the credits.
We should look it up. But so that had the most horrifying thing I think I've ever seen in a movie, which was... The goblin Ron Perlman is smoking a cigar and talking and stuff, and he's writing things and just acting like this is no big deal. But his fingers all bend back the wrong way, but he's still
Chris
using
them.
Chris
is acting
them.
This out
yeah,
for you.
I can't.
Even though you can't see
he's
he can't make his fingers bend backward, but he's trying.
Yeah, and it's like they go back, but he's still using them like normal, even though like at the first knuckle, or the second, whatever, it's like bent back. And I was just like... I can't even look at that. I was like, this is...
It's like one of those creepy people who grow their nails really long and they start curling. Yeah,
it was like, as many like just truly disturbing horror movies and stuff as I've watched, but I was like, when that guy's fingers were bending back the wrong way, I was just like, I can...
Uncomfortable.
I was like, I cannot take this. Can y'all stop? And he was... Oh, that was the thing. It's like... And he kept doing stuff with his hands. So it's like he's smoking and he's writing notes, but his hands
They really
are all,
wanted you to see it.
Oh, it was so uncomfortable. I did love when that when Jacob just punched him
in the face.
I was like, yeah, perfect. You never see people just do like normal stuff in all this wizard business. It's like, yeah, you've got these wands. It's like, just punch that guy. I was like, that was great. And I was like, because they're probably never expecting that kind of thing.
Right, because they're just waiting on a wand.
I also always wonder in stuff like that when some of those things happen, and I'm like, yeah, but what if you just shot that guy? Like,
well, yeah, the muggle forms of
violence.
Fighting and violence, they don't really address that in the movies.
That's interesting.
Well, they do say that muggle, that human beings are the most dangerous creature of all.
Yeah, yeah. Newt said that. He was afraid for his creatures to be around humans.
Normal people.
So... Okay, so
that
you,
was one.
You noticed the triangle.
Who
the,
was
the
other
mark of the Deathly Hallows?
When he says that when he says that he was there a lot of gay subtext in this movie?
I didn't get that.
I felt like there was a lot of places where it could be like they're trying to be like.
Okay, a little
without
bit,
being,
yeah.
Like, and literally, like, subtext, because they're trying to, like, I was like, if that is what they're doing, I like that, because they're not trying to make, like, a big deal of it. They're
so
trying to be
that,
like, oh,
like,
this is just...
JK has come out, and she has said that Dumbledore was gay.
Yeah.
Right. And if you know the backstory of Dumbledore and
this is
Grindelwald...
What is their backstory?
They were almost... It's implied in the books that they were, like, together.
Okay.
So you don't know anything, right? Because that's all in the books. So
wow, but
should we
go
back? Should we go back to the story of Dumbledore and Grindelwald?
Well, okay. So let me ask.
He's a bad guy, and you're thinking to yourself, how could Dumbledore be involved with him?
But lots of good people
scandal.
Get involved.
Right, right. That's the scandal in the seventh book. Rita Skeeter.
She writes
a book about Dumbledore's life, exposing all of this, like. And Dumbledore did this thing that you wouldn't believe. It's like a tell-all.
Do people care about people being gay in the wizard world? Like it
well,
seems
no,
like
no, no. That's
a...
not what they're upset about. They're upset about the fact that
well,
he
no,
was
I'm just
friends
asking in general.
With Grindelwald.
Okay.
And that Grindelwald was an evil guy. And they're like, your hero, Dumbledore, who you thought was so perfect, was actually friends. Like best friends when they were teenagers.
Best friends,
killer
wink.
Grindelwald. Yeah.
Yeah.
And the wink is barely there.
Okay.
Like it's barely implied.
We
only think that now because of JK like coming after the books and saying it. But nowhere in the wizarding world... Is homosexuality mentioned in any of the books?
They don't mention much sexuality, period. I mean, because
right,
this
right.
is
it's
kind
a,
of
it's
basically,
a kid series.
Yeah, children's.
But we've talked before about how the books kind of grow up.
Yeah.
With Harry as Harry ages, the books.
Well, I was just like, you know, it would be really ridiculous for them to be hung up on something like that. That there's no reason to be hung up on when there's, like, it's like you guys are okay with when that whole. Speakeasy scene was like uneasy to me just because it's like you got that weird singing goblin and then like then the guy comes out with those bent fingers and I was just like
you were so uncomfortable.
I was like, can we just get out of this bar? It just seems like it would be really weird if they were like hung up on any of that kind of stuff, but
it's all only implied.
Okay,
so maybe some of that was there in this movie, like between Credence and who is Grindelwald pretending to be? Yeah, Graves. I don't know. I got
their names
like,
both start with GR. Like
right, he's
come
not
on.
Hiding that much. But I feel like I got
he's
more
got
of
the
like
same.
A,
he's like I really love this haircut. I know I've got to look like a completely different guy, but I swear I have to keep this haircut. It looks so good from the back specifically. But there was that. There was, and I thought they were kind of doing a thing. Like even though that. Tino is clearly like sweet on Newt.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, and then some of the stuff about how like, oh, most people don't like him. And I was like, oh, maybe is that the thing? Because he didn't seem to be sort of like returning her
affection. Not until the end, when he was like, can I bring you the book in person?
Yeah, and I was like, but even still, you could kind of leave that as like, oh, maybe he just likes having friends. He's not mm-hmm. into her in that same way. But either way is fine. You know, however they want to do it is fine. But I was just like, oh, maybe that's, you know, and maybe that's me like kind of trying to read into what the meta text of the stuff is, where there was something else where I was just like, oh, the part when, oh, that was probably what made me start thinking about it, was the part where I didn't really think there was an implied anything between Graves and Credence. That to me clearly read more as like,
he wanted his approval so badly.
Well, Credence is just someone who's been like treated so badly. He's just like desperate for so like abused. Any kind of like
affection, attention,
kindness. Yeah. Yeah, and so it's like you feel so bad for him, even though even with that haircut. but it was like,
despite the terrible haircut,
and he kept like spitting when he was like real, not even spitting, like drooling when he was like real upset about stuff.
I did not notice that.
Oh, I couldn't help but notice it several times. Even during like sort of one of the big like CGI scenes, he was still like drooling, and I was like, he has made a very clear choice here. I hope he's not going to be doing that in Justice League. I don't know. I don't know what the story is going to be. Maybe it really will call for it. But the part when Graves... Oh, now it... When Graves is like... Because he is Grindelwald, who's had a relationship with yes. Dumbledore. That part when he's like, but Dumbledore didn't want you to get expelled. Why would he, you know, fight so strenuously for you?
Well, the same way he did for Hagrid, though. I mean, you know Hagrid's
backstory. We don't know that yet, though. Like, that hasn't happened yet. I mean,
we know it.
Well, yeah, but I mean, it's like, he says that, okay, so Dumbledore just loves people that love monsters.
But he also loves good people, and clearly yeah. knew, like... Newt, I thought that Newt didn't like sick some of his creatures on people like on purpose.
Yeah, well, he didn't sick anything. Yeah, no. But I'm just saying, like, the way he said that at him, I thought that was like a subtle kind of like he's trying to imply an improper something. Relationship. And not,
right, but he's clearly jealous. He's clearly because he had a relationship with Dumbledore.
We don't know that at the time, and I don't mean like an improper relationship because it's a gay relationship. I mean because
it's student and
because teacher. Yeah, student teacher.
Right.
But
really, I feel like he's just digging for information about Dumbledore. He's like, oh, so why does Dumbledore like you so much? Like, give me more information about my childhood friend Dumbledore.
Yeah, in retrospect.
I want to know more. And we also know from the original series that Grindelwald is afraid of Dumbledore. Okay. Like, that's the only wizard who his power does not match.
Well, I think we've really got to the bottom of it. I think we've completely answered all the questions. No.
Okay, so can we get back to the Obscurus?
Oh, okay.
Okay.
I had no idea we had not completely covered the Obscurus.
No, there's a big connection.
I think my hard drive can only hold... No, go ahead.
Between the Obscurus and this movie and the original series, there's a big connection. So beyond the fact that Dumbledore knew Grindelwald when they were both boys and that they had like a connection... But their friendship was very brief, and then Grindelwald left and went off, you know, to go turn into this really evil wizard.
Into Johnny Depp.
Yeah, into Johnny Depp, who's evil. But the thing that happened that separated Dumbledore and Grindelwald was the death of Dumbledore's sister, Ariana.
Okay.
And Ariana...
As you'll all remember, I'm sure.
As you'll all remember from the book, Ariana is a very interesting sort of thing from Dumbledore's past that's very weird in the book that's in Rita Skeeter's little tell-all about him, that you're like...
What's her name?
Rita Skeeter. That you're like, I...
Every time you say... It's just every time you say some ridiculous name or name for a thing, like, it's going to make...
That's a person's name.
It's still, like, a silly name. But it's just like every time it's like I hear your voice going like just your eye roll at a sonic screwdriver.
okay, fine. You can roll your eyes at the character's names.
Oh, I don't care. I was not rolling my eyes to begin with. The point was
it was me. I did
yes,
that.
Yes, you okay. started this.
Okay, I did.
You're that. Like J.K. Rowling. You think that your nerdy thing is better than
I do.
Other
this
people's.
Is my fandom. Okay, so All right, so back to Ariana. So Ariana is Dumbledore's little sister, and we find out about her in the seventh book, and we find out that that she had sort of a weird existence, and she died as a child. Basically, when she was very small, she was doing some magic in their backyard. She was only like 6 years old, and it wasn't when she could like control her magic yet. She was kind of just like playing around, and some muggles saw her doing it. And the idea is
you think they would live somewhere.
No. That's the thing. They like to like integrate with the muggles. So the muggles see her doing it, and it's like these boys who are a little older than her. And basically, we find out that they attack her because she's different, because she does magic. And after they attack her, she begins to repress her magic.
Mm-hmm.
She's afraid to do magic, and so she represses her magic. And
when is this? This is when she's six.
So Dumbledore's young. He's just out.
How old is he supposed to be? In
the original series?
In these movies. Yeah, in the
he's the age of Grindelwald. They're the same age.
Why does he look like he's 1,000? When like Grindelwald looks like Johnny Depp.
So in this movie
though, I was like, oh, he must be like a 900 years old or something.
In Fantastic Beasts, it's the 1920s.
And then the
And Dumbledore and Grindelwald would have been like in their...
Johnny Depp is like in his
40s or 50s, yeah. And so by the time Harry Potter happens, which is in the 90s, Dumbledore's over 100.
Okay. I really, until this idea, I was like, I just always kind of assumed like, oh.
Dumbledore's very old.
I was like, he must be 1,000 years old or something.
Not 1,000, but old, yeah. Very old.
Yeah, okay.
Okay, so when this was happening... When Dumbledore's little sister, Ariana, would have been repressing her magic and having to been... She was taken care of by their mother and sort of hidden because they were afraid that she would hurt someone. And
right.
So she never went to Hogwarts and she was sort of hidden. And okay, so when you read the book, when you read the seventh book, you don't know, you've never heard this word obscurious or obscurial, and you just think like, oh, this is weird what happened to her. But now when you go back and you read it, like, you realize she, Ariana, must have been an obscurial because she had repressed her magic. So like you go back and you read, okay, so here's what it says about her. I'm actually gonna read it because it's
okay.
Okay. It says, when my sister was 6 years old, and this is Aberforth talking, who's Dumbledore's brother. When my sister was 6 years old, she was attacked, set upon by three muggle boys. They'd seen her doing magic, spying through the back garden hedge. She was a kid. She couldn't control it. No witch or wizard can at that age. What they saw scared them, I expect. They forced their way through the hedge, and when she couldn't show them the trick, they got a bit carried away trying to stop the little freak doing it. It destroyed her, what they did. She was never right again. She wouldn't use magic. But she couldn't get rid of it. It turned inward and drove her mad. It exploded out of her when she couldn't control it. And at times, she was strange and dangerous. But mostly she was sweet and scared and harmless. So that little description, they don't call it anything, but it sounds very much like what happened to Credence, right?
Yeah.
Like he and Ariana were repressing their magic and it turned dark and dangerous inside of them. So eventually, Dumbledore's mother is killed, and we don't really know why. So now I'm assuming it was Ariana, being an obscurial, killed her. And then eventually Ariana dies before she turns 10, which is also very in line with what the movies say about what an obscurial is. So we, and all of this happens, like she dies,
so
Ariana dies, while Grindelwald is there with the Dumbledores. So Grindelwald...
He lived with him?
He lived with Mathilda Bagshot in the same neighborhood. And so Grindelwald was present when Ariana died. And what it makes you think is that that was the first time he sees an obscurious, was Ariana. And then when he leaves Godric's Hollow and goes out to become this dark wizard, he leaves with this idea of finding these obscurial, these people with repressed magic... And thinking that he can somehow harness its evil power.
And so why was that the guy in the movie? why was his obscurial so crazy?
Credence's?
Yeah.
Well, I think it was something older. To do with, yeah, like he had somehow managed to, they said that like 10 was the oldest anyone had ever been.
Yeah.
And then he's clearly, you know, eight, at least, seemed like he was at least like 17, 18. And that, I guess that he had lived that long. Well, and what's his name? Graves says that it's like, it's a miracle that he's.
That you must be very powerful that you've repressed it for this long. So because he's older, his obscurial is more powerful, which fascinates Grindelwald, because that's what he's looking for. Is he's looking for dark power to help him, you know, destroy the Muggles and take over the world.
Right.
So I just think that that's a fascinating connection with the books. Like, that it throws back to Grindelwald's relationship with Dumbledore. It throws back to Dumbledore's younger sister.
I need to go see this movie again and sort of with, you know, having this, some of this new information in my mind to sort of rewatch it with those eyes. But instead, I probably won't get to see it again for a while because I'll be busy watching Mortal Kombat Annihilation.
Every night.
I mean, and all of this stuff is, this is a world, and this movie did such a good job of talking, of putting some of these ideas out, where I was like, I think I had heard, just not really paid attention to, because I didn't think I was even going to go see this movie. I think I had heard something about them saying that they were going to do, like, five, that they had already announced, like, five mm-hmm. more of these. Because, like, when you said that, it...
You were like, oh, yeah, I've heard that.
I
was like,
oh, I think I did hear something about that. But usually when I hear announcements like that, I'm like, oh, boy. Like, can you, like, let's get one movie down before you announce 20 movies or something. But then after seeing this, I was like, I really am. And hearing some of the, and especially hearing some of the things that you've talked about that are sort of like connections to things and other stuff, I'm like, oh, I am very interested to hear or see where some of these things go.
Knowing that there's going to be so many movies, I mean, my assumption is that it will eventually lead up to the point in which Dumbledore and Grindelwald duel and Dumbledore defeats Grindelwald. Like, I'm guessing that that's like probably the culmination of this new series, is like bringing it up to that moment when Dumbledore defeats him.
Hmm.
I mean, that would be my guess. That would be like the climax of this storyline, because he's the villain, right? He's been set up as the villain. And so the way this series will end will be with that villain.
So it's like, I mean, do you think Newt won't even like be in the next one? It'll be just like somewhere else in this Harry Potter world.
I don't know. I mean, it's interesting that they called it Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them. And when I went into this movie, I was thinking it was mostly going to be about Newt.
I mean,
but at the same time, you're like, how is it going to continue to be about these beasts? Like, that can't be five movies worth of just like beasts. So
it could, but it would be very different.
But probably he will weave into the storyline, I assume, of defeating Grindelwald. And also his relationship with Dumbledore, like you said, Graves mentioning it, like his relationship with Dumbledore will probably resurface and be...
I can't imagine Eddie Redmayne being in five more of these. Just because he's like...
Busy.
He's such a, like, you know, Oscar kind... He's such a well-regarded actor.
Right.
It's hard for me to imagine him... Like, he might... I don't... Yeah, I don't think... I think that these movies will shift away from him.
And be about Grindelwald.
And be about, you know, whatever.
But also, Grindelwald, like, does most of his damage in various countries.
I also, though, I don't think Johnny Depp is going to be, like, a big part in all five of these next movies also.
He will eventually be a big part in, some of them.
No. I think he will have a part to play in all of them, and I think in some of them he will be a big part of it, but I don't think he'll be in all of them.
It'll be interesting to find out.
Yeah, I'm very interested to see where all this goes.
I mean, they're doing a good job getting us to come see the other ones.
Yes. I'm kind of very interested to see where it goes. Ben, did you have any other questions?
Not off the top of my head. I think that was pretty much it. It was just like...
Do you feel like you got a good? Do you feel like you got like a good broad cloak of answers over the course of everything Sam said.
Well, yeah, I mean, this has really, really tied a lot of things together, really. Really brought the room together for me.
All right, well, this has certainly been an interesting, gonna now have to be multiple episode podcast, I'm sure. I feel like we have probably been doing talking? This is probably over 2 hours now. But that's fine. You know, this is clearly something that this is very fertile ground that has a lot of space for us to talk about things.
Yeah, I feel like I could say more about this movie.
I bet you feel like you could say quite a lot about a lot of Harry Potter things.
I do.
If only there were some kind of podcast to talk about that.
Oh, what a good idea that would be.
So, guys, thank you for listening. I hope this has been fun for you. It's certainly been fun for me. Thank you guys for inviting me to the movie and for having me over. And Ben, thank you for making these drinks.
And thanks for having us on the podcast.
Yeah, this is super fun.
Yeah.
I'm glad that I had another excuse to do so. So, guys, Harry Potter, Fantastic Beasts, magic stuff. Go see it. Hey, I haven't talked about it. Doctor Strange was a lot of fun too. Very different kind of magic movie, but maybe I'll talk about that some other time. But yeah, you got a lot of good magic options in the theater right now if you want to go check those out.
Enjoy.
Exactly. Do you guys have anything you want them to check out? Anything you want them to follow? Any social media things like that you want to plug?
I'm a teacher, so
so no.
So no.
I try to stay off of the social media.
I avoid that in my work. But they should go read some books. If you haven't read the Harry Potter series, I'm gonna put a big plug in for that. It's worth it.
Yeah, God knows
it's worth every minute that you will spend reading it.
God knows the Harry Potter books need some publicity. If we could just get some people to read these books, I think they're really gonna make a difference in people's lives. That was one of the things I wanted to talk about earlier that we kind of got sidetracked from. Was I was trying to say, like, I feel like that's a really big thing with people who are big fans of Harry Potter, regardless of how they. And I think that's part of, like I said before, it's part of the magic of Harry Potter is the fact that the people who get into this series, however they get into it, and to whatever level, when they really care about Harry Potter, I do feel like they sort of have this feeling like they are part of that magic world.
Yeah, so read the books. Get that feeling.
Yeah, in a way that, like, a lot of other, you know, like, people who are really into, you know, comics do not have, like, that sort of, and I guess maybe that's the benefit of, or Star Wars or something, like, you don't have this sort of, like, the benefit of it being sort of like a singular thing by one author, and it's just a set. You don't have as much varying different voices trying to say a thing, and so it lets people have this feeling of, we're all studying the same thing, we're all in this thing, we all love the same thing, and it's like really makes us feel like we're a part of that. We're a part of the magic. Yeah. And that's I think what is really awesome about Harry Potter. Ben, do you have anything you want to plug?
I'm plugless.
Okay. That's okay. That's allowed.
We'd like to plug everything Chris does, so follow him all the places.
You can follow the show on Twitter at KICTM Podcast. You can email the show with any of your questions about Harry Potter or theories on Fantastic Beasts and where to find them, your reviews, any of that kind of stuff you guys want to send in at keepitclosetomepodcast@gmail.com. Follow me on Twitter at TheChrisHaley. All of this stuff is in the show notes, so you can go to that at keepitclosetome.com and click on the different things. I put up the videos that I work on for Comics Alliance. Guys, watch one of those. I just did one about, oddly enough, I just did one. The last video I just did for Comics Alliance was on the top 5 best magic comic heroes. Doctor Strange is on the list.
Magic. It's all coming for full circle.
Yeah, I didn't even think about that. I don't think well enough ahead to have planned that. It's just like, oh, by the way, I just remembered something ties in. But yeah, check out that stuff. And the show is now on Patreon, patreon.com/thechrishaley. Thank you so much to everybody who has contributed there. And check it out. You can get downloads and early access to stuff and things in the mail and all those kind of good things. Thank you, guys.
All the stuff and the things.
Exactly. Thank you, everyone who is already getting things in the mail or stuff earlier, already subscribing, backing, supporting, whatever you want to say. Guys, I don't even know anymore. thank you so much. This has been a lot of fun, and I will just leave you with this.
And threw it in a jar.
It's good.
It's kind of like making potions.
It's really like, well, and when I
potion drink making,
when she said something about like, will you go make us drink, make those drinks or whatever, and it was like, okay, and off you went to do it. But I mean, no, but like you went off to do it, but then it was like you were in there for a while
and there was shaking
noises. I could hear the noises going, and grinding. I was like, this is like
an involved... You hear the hammer drill bust out for a second.
I was like, this is an involved drink. And then you brought two of them back in, and it was like, oh, okay. And it's like, oh, no, now you have to go make yours. And it's like, then you're gone for all time.